Constantine Metal Resources' area of exploration grows near its Palmer site north of Haines, and the Skagway Assembly takes first crack at its budget on Thursday. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. It was announced this week that Constantine Metal Resources has been granted the right to lease nearly 100,000 acres of land adjacent to its Palmer site for resource exploration. The land was recently put up for competitive lease by the state's Mental Health Trust Authority. The Trust Land Office manages land to generate income for trust beneficiaries served by the state's mental health programs. The Land Office manages resources including real estate, forests, minerals, and coal, oil, and gas leases. In this case, the Trust Land Office in February opened up just over 99,000 acres of land, about 30 miles northwest of Haines, to be leased for mineral exploration, development, and production. The land surrounds the current Palmer site where Constantine, for the last several years, has been exploring for copper, zinc, gold, and silver resources. Constantine's Vice President of Exploration, Darwin Green, said Wednesday the company was naturally interested in the lease for the surrounding property.
It's something we've always followed, and we have actually talked to them in the past, but it's never actually been put out to competitive lease. It completely surrounds us, does the lease grounds. So from a strategic sort of protecting our current property area, it was pretty, it's something we've had interest in.
The Trust Senior Resource Manager Mike Franger said Wednesday that Constantine was the only party to take part in the competitive lease bid. The so-called Haines Block of Trust land is adjacent to the 16,000-acre Palmer project currently leased by Constantine, so the new area is more than six times larger than Constantine's current area of exploration, although Green said the company is most interested in the area closest to the Palmer site.
One of the deals with their offering that they put out there was sort of an all or nothing kind of approach. They wanted to lease the entire land package. For us, we're primarily interested in the grounds immediately surrounding our existing property.
The area borders state lands covered by the Haines State Forest Management Plan and within the Klehini, Kelso, Sirkou, and Chilkat River drainage systems. It also butts up against the border with British Columbia. The Trust writes in its prospectus of the land that the Haines Block has excellent potential for discovery of additional copper, zinc, gold, and silver deposits, just like the Palmer site. Part of the area also covers the uplands of the active Porcupine Placer Gold District. But Green said there's only been limited exploration work done historically on the lands, and the company doesn't have any large-scale plans for exploring the lands at this point.
As it stands right now, it's an area that doesn't have, there's no major prospects, kind of like Palmer. Palmer has a couple of other prospects on it that are more significant, but the main one we've drilled. But there's showings and occurrences that, prospectors have found over the years that are in the Mental Health Trust lease grounds, but there's no real go-to obvious project or prospect there. So the type of work that people would consider doing would be prospecting and field mapping, geological mapping, and say silt and soil sampling, sort of that first pass reconnaissance type work to just assess what's out there.
Under terms of the lease, Constantine will pay an annual rental of $25,000 to the trust for the next 3 years. The company must commit to spending $75,000 on work on the site for the first year, with that rate increasing by $50,000 each of the next 2 years. The company also has first rights to renew the lease two additional three-year terms. If production ever does begin at the site, Constantine must also pay production royalties to the trust. When the trust announced it would open the lands to mineral leases, it received about 24 public comments. Many expressed concern for fish, wildlife, and water resources if the area was open to exploration and development. Those comments didn't affect the trust's decision to open the lands. They could only consider whether the leases are in the best interest of the work the trust is charged with, namely funding mental health programs in the state. Constantine will be bound by state and federal environmental regulations if exploration ever moves on to the production phase. Green said the company has budgeted about $6.2 million for continued work at the Palmer site this year, beginning in mid-May. The Skagway Assembly will take a first look at the manager's budget for fiscal year 2015 at its Thursday meeting. The budget doesn't yield any huge surprises. It proposes similar levels of revenues and expenses to the current budget, and proposes mill rates for property taxes remain the same. There are slight decreases in the revenues and expenses from the town's general fund. Most of that difference is because of uncertainty about if the federal government will fund the payment in lieu of taxes program. Right now, the Skagway budget doesn't show any revenue from that program for the FY15 budget, a loss of about $125,000. Modest increases in spending in other areas, like administration, is mostly due to increases in health insurance costs, investment interests, and salaries. The line item for sales tax revenue appears nearly $2 million higher than the 2014 budget, but interim manager Emily Deitch warns there are several variables in that amount. For one, she said the budget is usually conservative in its estimates of sales tax revenues. For example, in 2013, $6 million was estimated for sales tax revenues, but $6.6 million actually came in. This year, the budget is estimating $6.3 million in sales tax revenues. The budget also proposes moving $2.9 million in from sales tax reserves. That will cover the estimated $10 million in expenses budgeted to come from the sales tax fund. Total capital expenses is also expected to come in around $10 million, although Deitch said that number may fluctuate because of state grant funding for the Gateway project and other unknown specifics on some projects. Just under half the funding for capital expenses comes from sales tax, with the rest coming from excise tax and state and federal grants. The most expensive projects on the capital expense list includes the Gateway project, the rec center expansion, the boat launch ramp, the Pullen Creek Streamwalk, which will come from federal grants, and finally, dealing with the town's wooden water tank. There is no proposed change in mill rates, but that may still mean a slight increase of property tax revenue for fiscal year 15. Deitch notes in her manager's report to the Assembly that this year's property assessment values show an increase of 5% in most land values. Improvement values in the historic district have increased by 15%, and residential and commercial improvements outside the historic district have increased by 10%, she writes. Values on the Hillside, Klondike Highway, and Dyea remain mostly unchanged. The proposed budget comes up for a first reading Thursday at the Skagway Assembly meeting. Then Assembly committees will take up portions of the budget over the next several weeks. The Assembly must approve a budget no later than June 30th, although it's usually done earlier in June at a regularly scheduled meeting. Also on Thursday's Assembly agenda, there are several ordinances and resolutions up for discussion. Most are about establishing civil fines for violations, including violations of the Fire Prevention Code, zoning regulations, signage and structures, and dogs. The Assembly will also discuss a management agreement for the Garden City RV Park, the proposed West Creek Hydro Project, and a boat maintenance building engineering proposal. A complete meeting agenda and packet is available online at skagway.org. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. Middle East exchange student Haitham Mohana and juniors Thunder Mountain High School Art Club presented an origami peacock of peace to the Alaska State Legislature on Monday. The peacock is made of more than 2,000 pieces of folded paper. Mohana says the peacock represents the dreams of the people of Gaza, his home country.
I hope this peacock, which symbolizes the peace, go in each mind and each heart and truly rise our mind about the wars and conflicts.
Mohana is studying at Haines High School through an exchange program funded by the U.S. State Department. He learned how to make an origami peacock from a teacher in Gaza and taught the process to Juno Art Club students while he was visiting there. It took the club 3 months to fold more than 2,000 pieces of paper. The peacock is 3 feet wide and about 2 feet tall. Art Club coordinator Heather Ridgway said she didn't immediately know where the peacock should be displayed. She wanted it to be in a place where it could inspire people.
It was like, oh, of course, we'll take it to the Capitol. They are working on major issues that require everyone to commit time and attention and do a careful job and work together and be patient, just like making this peacock. Let's give it to the legislature.
Senator Dennis Egan calls Mohana an artist and says the peacock will definitely inspire visitors to the Capitol and lawmakers.
I can guarantee you that people will reflect on it and hopefully bring good things. And remember that, you know, we're all trying to come in peace.
Until a permanent place can be found for the origami peacock, it's temporarily displayed in the House Speaker's chambers. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Lisa Fu for help with this report. And don't forget to join us Thursday at 10 a.m. for Talk Around Town. Your host, Deborah Schnabel, will talk with new Police Chief Bill Musser about profiling Haines and the challenges of policing our community. That's Talk Around Town this Thursday at 10 a.m. on KHNS. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS welcomes comments on topics important to you. If you'd like to make a commentary to air on your local community radio station, check our website at khns.org under Community for our guidelines. Each listener commentary airs twice, once in the evening and once in the morning after your local news. Everyone has an opinion, and you can make yours heard on the KHNS listener commentary.